Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day. What a beautiful day. By the way, the weather at night has been so cool and nice. Fall is just around the corner. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Don't forget, you just made the list coming up at high noon. Also, Alan Bell in the third hour as well after you just made the list. So we'll get into some bets before we go into pick six in the final hour. Right now we bring in Big Joe on the go, Joe Dubin. Joe, if people are looking for scores tonight, they are looking to get their high school fix, where do they need to turn?
And go to Main Street Preps. You can follow them on Twitter at Main Street Preps. You got scores, you got stories, a lot of cool things that are going on. So just hit that up tonight when you're out and about and want to get a story or a score, and we'll have it for you tonight as we enter week four already of the high school football season. So after tonight, you know, they have 11 weeks because of the open week. So after the night, you're about a third of the way through the regular season, which is crazy.
Crazy, for sure. You know, we had Kelly Holcomb on yesterday because we were doing silly underdog picks, and we got into a little bit about that Riverdale team that has been scoring a lot of points, but really their defense has also been scoring a lot of points, have been opportunistic and making the most of it. How good do you think this Riverdale team is?
Well, it's funny because I was just looking them up about 15 minutes ago. They're as good as they want to be, but there's one problem, and that's called the Oakland Patriots. So Riverdale takes on Shelbyville tonight, which is a great, great game. I mean, it's at Riverdale, Shelbyville just down the road. It's going to be a great environment there. Offenses are great. A lot of teams are scoring a lot of points, but it's the defense, which so far after the first 3 weeks, what are making teams really stand out with a good defense, because teams put up 34 points, but you know, if you're losing 48-42, well, you can score all the points you want. The defense isn't going to stop anybody, but that's a good team. But again, you've got to go through Oakland, and that's the problem with a lot of these teams in 6A down there. You have to go through Oakland. That's kind of the barometer of where you are. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, that's always – they can add more schools in Murfreesboro with Siegel and with Blackman and Rockville, but the core is still that Riverdale-Oakland football game, which is coming in a couple of weeks. So – they're headed for a collision course, but I like what Kelly's doing down there. I like what Coach Kreisky's got down there at Riverdale. That's a good program. High school football is better in our area when Riverdale is good, and they're good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I've got a great Shelbyville joke. Willie and Chase can vouch for it, but I'll tell you it another time.
Save it.
Okay.
Yeah, just save it. It was bad.
Park it, because it hit so well yesterday.
Still. Let's stay close by to what we were just talking about, Joe. I had to do it. Stewart's Creek. I'm over there all the time. It's in my backyard, basically. Beautiful new high school, middle school, elementary, great facilities over there. Where are they at in their development, their growth as a young school in Rutherford County?
Well, you know, you just said it. Great facilities, great kids, great community. I don't care where you are, Darren. If you put all those together at any school across the state of Tennessee, across America, you've got a recipe for success. And Stewart's Creek is really coming up. There's so much talent down there. A lot of people are moving out of Davidson County. It's just a fact. And they're looking at places where schools are good. And Stewart's Creek is exactly that, what they have and where they've been. You know, years ago when they first come up, like, man, how are they going to compete with these other schools in the area? There's so much down there. But then there's a lot of talent. You got people moving out to the suburbs. That's a school that's really standing out. Just like I'll give you Stewart's Creek, I'll give you Green Hill, which is now, you know, they're having a great season so far. They got a big game tonight where they're taking on Columbia Central at home. But just like you talked about, Darren, good facilities, good students, good coaches, great community. You're already halfway to winning right there. So yeah. I like where Stewart's Creek has done. And they only get better from there.
You know, since we last spoke, Joe, just sad news in the high school football community. Richard Campbell, unfortunately, passing away at 57. Tough loss.
It is. And, again, I've told you guys why football is so important to me. If you don't know who Richard Campbell is, he's a longtime coach. He's at Hunter's Lane. He's at Stratford. He is what a high school football coach is all about. Unfortunately, he passed away. You know, reading a story this week where him and Joe Campbell would go into the inner city and they hadn't heard from the kid for a few days and make sure that he's okay, make sure that his lights are on, make sure that he's getting fed, make sure that he's okay. That's why high school football stands out. by guys like Richard Campbell who go out and leave their mark in the community. And you saw just the tributes to him online. So many people, just he was beloved and loved him. And that's why it stands out with a guy like that. And it's a huge loss. And tonight, Stratford takes on McGavick, which is, you know, I wish 10,000 people would go to that game tonight and just pack it out as a tribute to Richard Campbell, but to honor, you know, Metro schools and people that are there. It's going to be, an emotional environment tonight because of what Stratford meant to Richard Campbell. But that's a huge loss. You know, it's not going to be page 1A of the paper, but the impact a guy like he has on kids and has had on kids throughout the years, you can't write that down. I mean, it's amazing the lives he's touched, and it's a tough loss for a lot of us here in Metro.
Joe, just picking up on something we talked about last week, I have a good friend that is a teacher at Hillsboro, and I went with my son and his son to the Hillsboro game, first home game they've had over there in a long time, and I got to see everything that they're doing. It's still not all finished. There's still a lot of construction going on, but the field looks great. They have a parking garage that on top of it, they have a turf soccer field that I think the soccer field plays, soccer team plays on. And I guess the football team could practice there in theory.
Right.
But it looks awesome. Hillsboro came up short. Smyrna looked pretty good. But it's just great to see all the progress that's going on over there. For a program, I was telling my son, I was like, you watch Smyrna and Hillsboro play. You go back a couple of, I guess it's been a couple decades now, but we're talking about two perennial powerhouses. And I was like, yeah, these teams have both won state championships. So these are two historic programs here.
You're exactly right. You know, Hillsboro, now my mind is wandering on me because I'm getting old, but might be the last Metro team to win a state championship back in 2008 when Scott Blade, the head coach of Independence, was at Hillsboro. So there's a lot of success there. They've been really good throughout the years. And that was my number one thing on my list this week, to look at Hillsboro being 0-3. They're winless. And, yeah, I love the new stadium over there. I love that they're investing in the kids. It's fantastic. But to see Hillsboro 0-3, but tonight East Nashville comes to visit. Another great program taking on a great program. So if you're out in that area tonight and you want to support high school football, that really, I'm so proud of you with the game. I love that. The fact you went out and supported these kids and new stadium, now you got a inner city rival, but East coming over there with them to take on Hillsboro. What a great environment. And I love that. I love seeing the stadium. I love seeing the progress. But I'm also at the same time, I'm like, I'm shocked that Hillsboro is sitting here at 0-3. East Nashville is 2-1, but it still should be a great football game tonight over there in Green Hills.
Yeah, it was a great crowd, great atmosphere. You got to love that. And so, Joe, another great game, fun storyline. Again, going back with a little historical perspective, Engel Martin was a great high school quarterback for MBA. Now we know every year he's putting together great teams at CPA. CPA against MBA tonight. That's going to be fun.
You know, funny, Will, you bring that up because that was number two on my list. Engel Martin, I've read correctly, my good friend Donovan Stewart puts this out on Main Street Preps. I think Engel Martin has already got 120 wins as a high school football coach. And, you know, he hasn't aged. Engel Martin looks 22 years old, so I'm not sure how old he is. But tonight they take on MBA. You're right, he's going to take on his alma mater. NBA is now 1-2, CPA 3-0. This is a great football game to see tonight because you got these two good powerhouse football teams kind of right now going a little different directions. But, you know, and coaches will tell you this all day long, oh, it's just another game on the schedule. But you guys know this. When you're taking on a place where you gave your heart and soul as a kid and played, you want to, it's nothing against your alma mater, but you want to win to show them how good you're doing now. And so CPA 3-0, NBA 1-2. I think it's the first time they've played since 2006, maybe, so it's been a while, which is really good. They're getting this game back together tonight. But look at Engel Martin. I mean, look at he's one of the best high school coaches, not in Tennessee, but I think across America. He graduates players, he puts players at the next level, and he wins games, and he's a state champion. That's perfect right there.
All right, Joe, I'm going to take the other low-hanging fruit because I know Chase can go deep with his knowledge of high school football. But I saw some great clips this week of the delivery by the Titans out to Waverly with the shoulder pads. And, it went beyond just the football equipment. It was like washers and dryers and other things that maybe I wouldn't have thought about off the top of my head to try to help pick things back up as quickly as possible out there. And it followed up with the scheduling of the game. That's going to be a really special thing.
Yeah, next Thursday night at Nissan Stadium. And look, we bang on the Titans all the time about this and that, personnel moves and on the football field stuff. But off the field, what they've done in the community is amazing. And so to help out Waverly that way, you know, people are cynical, like, well, they should have done it anyway. No, they're not obligated to do anything except go out and win football games. But they've made a commitment to high school football. And Josh Corey over at Titans has done a great job. You'll talk to these coaches around Middle Tennessee about the Titans have reached out to them, donating equipment. They've done it for years, donating equipment and cleats and hats and shirts. And what they've done for Waverly to open up their arms to embrace that football team is unbelievable. And to see what they're doing for them is fantastic. And so you see that, the washer and the dryer. And you saw the kids trying on the shoulder pads and the helmets and everything else they've gotten. It's fantastic. I reached out to John Robinson last year, and I said, hey, you know, I'm going to buy a football. And I went to the proper channels and said, do you mind signing this for DCA? They, you know, their first game, the tornado destroyed the stadium and the school. And I said, it's no big deal. And I went to, you know, the proper channels. And I said, if you can't do it, I completely understand. I will not be upset. But I thought I'd ask. Within an hour, I got an email back that said, bring the football over. Not only will John sign it, but Mike Vrabel will sign it. So I got this autographed football, and it's more than their signatures. You're like, we're proud of you, tight and strong, stand tall, stand tough. They didn't have to do that stuff. And the football, that football, guys, meant so much to a small school that lost everything. And that's just an example of the kind of people that the Titans are. And I go back to John Robinson. He's a huge high school football. When I was over there, he's like, what's the big game tonight on Friday night? And we talk high school football. It's more than just saying something. They're actually doing something. So, really, when you see all that stuff, it's fantastic.
Well, and to that point, Joe, because I remember us talking about this back in the day on the Game Blitz of, you know, the talent in this area. And I understand there are several steps before they get to John Robinson. But continuing that relationship with high school football in the Mid-State, developing the talent in the Mid-State, you know, that's only going to help moving forward. Because how many guys do we see in the NFL now that we talked about on that first season of Game Blitz?
Oh, it's amazing. And so, you know, they sponsor the Mr. Football Awards.
Yeah.
They do all that. You know, Mike Keith takes a big interest in this. And I told you my Mike Keith story. You know, he was up to a couple of years. He still might be doing it. He was the PA announcer at BGA High School for their football games. And I said, you're so busy. Why are you doing this? He's like, I told myself when I started to always be grounded through high school football in some shape, form, or fashion. And if I can be the PA announcer on a Friday night to help them out, I'm going to do it. And the way he was talking, you could see that passion coming out of it. And so I love it. And so it's just part of what the Titans do to help out high school football. And you know, I'm sure there's many other stories that we don't know about where they've donated equipment and done things for kids in this area. And so I'm grateful that we have an NFL team in this city.
Another program that we always liked talking about back in the day, and Coach Chris Hughes, always fun to come on with us before and after games, but Fairview, 2-1 on the season for the Yellow Jackets so far. They'll take on Westview tonight. What do you think about that program as they've been one that, you know, we've talked about a lot?
Well, that's a fun program to watch because they throw the ball so much. You know, he's still – Chris Hughes, the football coach in Fairview, if you don't know him, he's one of the top flag football quarterbacks in the country. I mean, he's 53 years old, and he travels the country winning flag football tournaments. And his football team has his personality. So they got a brand-new turf field at Fairview. It looks good, and that's a great program. They've got a different division this year. They're playing White House Heritage, a few other schools they've not normally played in the past. But it's fun to watch a football team that throws the ball around in high school football. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's bad. Like coaches say, when you throw a football – only one good thing can happen out of three. But it's fun to watch when they throw the ball so many times during the game. So that'll be a fun time tonight out in Fairview to watch them take on Martin Westview.
Out in Sumner County, the Gallatin Green Wave, they started off 1-2. They had to forfeit the game against Blackman, but they did win their region game. They lost to Mount Juliet as well. But what do you think about that program and where they're at right now? Because they're usually pretty good.
That's the number one game tonight, Chaser. Good job, buddy. Station Cap goes into Gallatin. Station Cap's 3-0. Gallatin's 1-1. As I said earlier about Riverdale, when Riverdale's good, high school football is better in Middle Tennessee. When Gallatin is good, the same thing. And Chad Watson's done a great job out there. What he's done, he's gone to the middle schools and really invested in those kids there. So when they're in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, there's a lot of pride for Gallatin. So when they get to high school, they've been in that system. They know what Gallatin football is and what it means. But tonight, you got an undefeated Station Camp team traveling just down the road to take on Gallatin. Gallatin's 1-1, Station Camp 3-0. But that environment, Chase, you've been in that Gallatin environment.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. That is what high school football is about. I mean, you have the end zone, then maybe you have a yard before you hit the fence. That's how high school football is there. And that stadium has been around for so long. It's iconic. And it's a great atmosphere. So tonight, they got their hands full. That's the number one game around Middle Tennessee today, watching Station Camp travel to Gallatin.
That is a great place to watch a game. Great place to watch a game.
Joe, I want to ask you, I meant to ask you this a few weeks ago, and I forgot, so shame on me. But the Tennessee Heat.
Are you going, Chase, you're the youngest guy on the panel here. I know. You're losing some memory already? Come on.
I'm forgetful.
It's Friday.
Clarksville Academy is hosting the Tennessee Heat, and this was a program that I didn't know that much about. You know, I would see them on the scoreboard, and I'm like, what is that, the Tennessee Heat? And for those that don't know, it's for homeschooled kids, a football program that's been put together that kids that are homeschooled, that they can still play high school football. What do you know about that, and how cool is that to see a program like that that is able to bring kids together? Because as you've said, just how important high school football is.
Well, you know, more and more kids are being homeschooled, and so there's just an outlet to play for high school football. You know, I'm a big team guy. I mean, you need to be on a team, I think. Whether you play or not, you're still contributing because you're at practice and you're on the scout team and things that are going on. So the fact that they've got a homeschool team now that can do that, I don't know a whole lot about them with, like, players and coaches and everything, but I do know that they exist. And so, you know, teams want to, in this COVID era, a lot of games are canceling, and so if you can pick up a team like a Tennessee Heat or a homeschool team like that to play, it's even better. So I like that it's given an outlet for kids who are homeschooled, can go out and play high school football and enjoy the experience on a Friday night, because otherwise you wouldn't get to do that. And so I'm good for the Tennessee Heat to be able to do that tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. JoJo, always a pleasure. We will do it again next week. Who's DCA got?
DCA's got White House Heritage. Before we go, let me give you a couple games that is running air tonight. They're pretty big. Portland at White House. That's always
great rivalry there.
We'll be there tonight. That's at White House. They don't play at the high school. They play at the city park. So get there early. It's going to be packed tonight. Wilson Central travels to Springfield. That's also a great environment tonight to go out and see a game. So there's a couple things right there for you to go out and check out. And also Columbia at Green Hill. We talked about them. Upstart program. They're now 2-1. Coach Crouch has done a great job out there. So plenty of games to get out tonight and support your team. And really, I'm so proud of you for going to Hillsboro last week. Thank you, my man.
All right.
There you go. JoJo, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys.
Big Joe Dubin, Mainstream Preps, is the Twitter and the website, Mainstream Preps. You can follow that and get all the latest on high school football. As you know, Joe is very, very passionate about, and as am I. I'll actually be on Fox 17 later tonight talking some high school football. So looking forward to doing that.
Chase is a man of many hats. I love it.
It's where I started. So, I mean, I gotta still have a little bit of high school football and be able to cover that. And I'm ready to get out to a game. So that's going to happen maybe tonight. We'll see. But appreciate Joe. He joins us every Friday at 11. You just made the list coming up at noon. But Willie, it's time. You have your Titans questions ready.
Oh,
we're gonna answer those when we come back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 105 The Game.
DJ Elijah just kicking it today, man. Just crushing it on the show. You just made the list. Although this doesn't make you angry, but you've still got something you've been holding in all week. That's coming up at noon. And then Alan Bell at 12:30. And then pick six at 1 o'clock. Hey, if you want to win a pair of tickets to see Stanford and Vanderbilt over at Vanderbilt Stadium next Saturday, September 18th, head over to YouTube and subscribe to 102.5 The Game's YouTube page, and you'll be entered to win your way into that game. One winner will be chosen by this Monday, September 13th. So all you have to do is go to YouTube, go to 102.5 The Game's YouTube page, and subscribe, and you're automatically entered for tickets to that Vanderbilt-Stanford game, which will be next Saturday here in town. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And, of course, you know our show is presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD, products curated for life. So what we're going to do is we're going to have some Titans prop bets for the year that we're going to have to answer. Of course, they kick off their season Sunday at Nissan Stadium against Arizona. So with that being said, Willie, I'm going to turn things over to you. Let's go from there.
Willie, are you recording these? You're going to write these down?
Yeah, I'm not writing this stuff down.
Okay.
I did the picks yesterday. This is your baby. You can record, Kamish.
Well, can I get some help from Elijah to maybe put some check marks here? I'll try. I will try. But, of course, the presentation, Darren, is so important as much as the bookkeeping. Because we are going to revisit these later in the season. So what I tried to do was ask questions that are going to directly impact what the final record of the Titans will be. If these props go the Titans' way, I think it's gonna mean a really, really good season. If a high percentage of these questions go the other way, then I think you're talking problems here. We're talking problems. Okay. The last question on this is going to be what you think the Titans' record will be at the end of the season. So that's going to be the last one. So I have 10 additional questions that are all props. You guys ready?
Yep.
Sure. All right, let's start it off with a very simple one that we've discussed over and over and over. And it was so funny to see Greg Zuerlein struggle last night because that's the nightmare. And we've all asked ourselves, what if that happened like it happened to Steven Guskowski in week one last year? Will Sam Ficken be the kicker for the Titans the entire year? That is question number one. Darren, why don't we start with you?
A simple yes or no.
A yes or no.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I don't know. Does that count?
You can't use the IDK. You know. Must make a selection. That is the...
No IDK.
I have started to use the IDK as a text back to my kids sometimes.
Here's the thing. And see, Sam Ficken's not going to get the luxury of Steven Guskowski because there's previous.
He's not as much slack.
He doesn't
probably have
the skins on the wall, and he doesn't have the relationship with the head coach. So he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, if he does anything like Guskowski did to start off last year, he's toast. So his margin of error is smaller, much smaller. It's not zero. Because here's what he does have going for him. It's not like their kickers are growing on trees. I get it. You know, we love to have Martin Gramatica, Automatica Gramatica.
Love his commercials.
That's where that was coming from. Yep. What does he say? No stressy, Jesse.
Yeah, no stressy, Jesse.
No stressy, Jesse. By the way, the next time we have him on, we'll have to have a little fun with that. His DraftKings commercials, which are all over the place. He does a good job. But they're not kickers growing on trees. It's not like there are all these great options out there just standing there going, just waiting for the phone to ring. I'm like an all-pro kicker, waiting for you to call.
There are a few out there. Nick Folk's out there still.
Yeah, why is he? Why is he still out there? It's not like teams. Detroit, does Detroit have a kicker? Who's their kicker? Did we figure out who they had to sign a kicker, right? Who?
Man Campbell doesn't settle for field goals.
Did they sign a kicker? I never saw who it was. So, you know, why wasn't Nick Folk there? Nick Folk there. Anyway, I think the odds are pretty slim that he makes it 17 weeks. Although he does have things going in his favor that I just laid out. So I'm going to say a slight, don't necessarily believe it, no.
Wow, it took you a long time to arrive at that.
It took 5 minutes.
We do have 10 questions here, Darren. So.
No, but it's a hard one.
That's it is very one. Tough. So you're saying no.
Nick Folk is on the Patriots practice squad right now. Elijah, here, you hit my answer.
Hell no!
So yours is emphatic. You say no way.
A little bit more definitive.
Yeah, no, he will not. I said it a few weeks ago. I stand by it. I don't think so.
You don't believe it? Okay.
I mean, if he has the same stat line as Greg the Leg last night, I think they're probably auditioning kickers. And Greg the Leg has skins on the wall.
I do think of something that Martin Gramatica said. He said, sometimes if you work so hard and you have no margin for error just to win the job, that once you win it, there's another challenge to then not have a letdown when you win. But I think they gave him the job early enough that he's now had time to decompress and then ratchet back up. So I'm going to say yes. I think he's going to make it.
By the way, turn on NFL Network, guys. They've got a guest on from Franklin, Tennessee right now.
Really?
Yeah.
ESPN had a guest on. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
He never does interviews. That's
I know.
A, yeah, 9/11.
I know. He doesn't yeah. do very many. Super nice guy, but does not.
Because he was
really
with the Giants during 9/11, wasn't he?
I would assume that's why they're they're talking about it. I would assume that's why they've got him on.
Hmm. Very cool.
Well, Kerry yes, Collins. Because the year they lost to the Ravens, that was 2000.
Yep.
And he was the quarterback for the Giants, so yes.
Yep. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Kerry Collins. So anyway.
Question number two.
Back to regular schedule.
This is program. One that Darren authored, so let's just put it down. Over or under 79.5 catches for Julio Jones for the season?
Ooh.
Do you remember what we said when you asked this before?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going
to
change.
Well, no, you haven't. You haven't. You've now had time to evaluate. Things have unfolded since then. So now it's time to put
it
down.
Okay. I could change.
We're going to put it down in ink.
We've got that was back, you know, before camp. I'll still just stick with it. I mean, you don't trade for Julio Jones if the answer is under. So you brought him in here for a reason. And everybody is talking about how great this offense is and should be. Then I'm going to go over. I'm not going to change. Even though you're right, I could because now we know more. But I'm going to stick with it and say over.
Okay, Chase.
I will say because I think I said under.
You did. I think everybody said under. But
doesn't
me.
Matter what you said then.
Yeah.
This is the we're now documenting.
I'm gonna stick with under.
You're going under?
Yep.
I will also say under, and I don't think that means he's gonna be, not worth it. I just think that the number's gonna be slightly under. He'll still be very effective and efficient.
Yeah.
He might miss a couple games in there. There's some scenarios in my mind where it could be under, but he still does really well and the team does really well. So that's I'm gonna go under slightly.
By the way, Willie, if you want to just take your shirt off and do the show with your shirt off the rest of the way,
yeah,
you
the
can,
camera's just been frozen for
still frozen.
Okay,
so.
I'll pass on.
You
that
can do whatever you want.
You know, I don't want Elijah to be offended or anybody else that's in the office.
Hey, there was a host I used to work with. It didn't stop him.
If you want to lay on the table, I mean, go ahead. I mean, nobody could see. It's
actually quite cool. It's actually quite cool in here.
What did you guys think
so
I did?
I'm
when
sorry.
You were all doing
what
the show
did you say? Cool in the studio? What?
It's very cool. I feel like I'm in a meat locker in here. I have a pullover on, but you know me. I like to layer up. I like to layer up.
I've seen you with three pairs of clothes on in the summer.
So. Yeah, you're right. Okay. You're right. I can go sleeves in the summer. All right, let's go. Question number three: over or under 1,550 yards for Derrick Henry? 1,550. I asked Chase to cross-check this on a prop site just to say, you know, we didn't pull this out of thin air. This is the Vegas part. So we know that nobody's ever gone 2,002 years in a row, but there's an extra game this year. So over or under 1,550 on the ground for the big fella. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going over on that. I like the 1,550 sounds a little low to me, but still, especially with the 17
just
with the 17 games.
It sounds a little low, 1,550.
I just feel like if he's out there with this offense, it's – And here I am going over, and I've been the guy the last couple of years
preaching.
Going, oh, man, the 370. Oh, man, they went over 370, and look at all these carries in the postseason. I am now subscribing that he is the freak. He is the exception to the rule that's been in place for all these years, that it's automatic
now.
That if you go 370 or over, you have a big drop-off the next year. Now, you could say he's going to have a drop-off. But could still get over 1,550.
Hang on. So now you're going to say he's a freak.
I was going to say, if I had a
now
dollar,
that he's done 2,000 yards.
Every time I've heard Willie bring up the 370 marker, Chase, if I had a dollar, you know what? I'm trying to think of what other additions I'd have on the house other than the new deck, the COVID deck.
You'd have another floor.
I'd have maybe another floor. That's a good point. I'd probably build a gym, you know, so I can work out.
Now let's say this though.
For every time Willie brought up 370.
Oh man, I'm gonna track it again this year. I think it's gonna be huge. But if he gets 1,600, or let's just say 1,551, and that's over, that's still less than 100 yards a game, which would seem like there's a big drop-off compared to last year where it was just, you know, if he wasn't getting the big chunks, you're like, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I would just like to point out, just, you know, you make the sacrifices to go to baseball games with your son.
Big sacrifice.
Big sacrifice. And now, you know, you did a bunch of research and realized, yeah, Derrick Henry's a freak.
He's elite.
He's elite. Okay. You know, that's what he is. My answer is over. I will hammer the over. Okay. I saw Eddie George was on First Take this morning with Stephen A., and was obviously talking about TSU and the matchup against Jackson State, but did ask him a few Titans questions, and you know, he said if ever there was a guy to do it, especially with the extra game, Derek is built for that, that he shows no signs of slowing down at all, that he believes that if anyone could rush for 2,000 yards 2 years in a row, it would be him. So I will take the over.
I think my answer is well documented on this show. Well documented. It's over, and it's not, if I'm going to sit here and talk about elite players and why they're different than everybody else and why you don't all everything is not equal and comparable the same, then, you know, I mean, what are we talking about? So Derrick Henry is not like all the other guys. He's different. He's elite. He's special. So it's over, and if we can do top shelf, I'll top shelf it.
So I guess you guys would agree with me that when you heard the over-under, I can't remember exactly which one you checked, Chase. Was that MGM that you looked at
yes.
for the 1550?
But it's pretty much
I thought
the
it
same.
Might be higher. I thought they might set that in Vegas a little higher than 1550. That's what has me going over. So it's interesting, Darren, you're pretty emphatic. I guess you hesitated a little bit on the 79.5, but you have Julio going over 79.5 and Derrick Henry emphatically going over 1550. So that means really good things for the Titans offense.
Well, you know, my it would be more emphatic about Julio Jones because, again, he's elite. He's special, but what's my hesitation? What did we talk about just recently? I mean, there's a concern. I mean, his history.
Well, that's the whole thing with
in Atlanta, and you know, tapping out, and is he going to just tap his helmet and say, "Hey, I'm out"? And you know, is he going to pull those stunts here? Then, yeah, I feel Derrick Henry doesn't do that. We know that. So I don't know Julio Jones like Atlanta does. We've heard all this stuff now, and we had heard all this stuff. He is special. He's elite. And my answer would be just like Derrick Henry if I thought he had the same mentality on game day as Derrick Henry. But I don't know that for a fact. I need to see it play out here in Nashville.
Okay.
But I'm still taking the over.
Okay. Well, these are good questions. We've only thrown three out there. We still have more to go. Should we take a little break and then come back?
We've only just begun.
Well, can I give you a message first? Austin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if you had a dollar every time Willie said 370, you and I both could retire. That's what he says.
Say that again?
He says, if you had a dollar for every time Willie said 370, you and I both could retire.
Yeah.
He's saying how much he said it.
Well, yeah, this is the year, but this is the year we're going to find out.
You know what I would do? I'd build a bowling alley. We would do, you know, we would do some bonding, show bonding, station bonding at the house. I'd build a bowling alley.
Good.
That's what I would do.
Well, that'd be cool, this is the year it's going to come to fruition one way or the other. So we've set the table.
Indoor basketball court, indoor cages. I'd do that too.
Not
bring
a pool?
It. Bring it.
I'm not allowed.
We'll come over.
I would build, definitely. That would be number one, but we're not allowed.
All right, really? Let's take a break. When we come back, we will go a little quicker.
How do you feel this is going, Willie?
I think it's going excellent. I've sparked a lot of great discussion in just three questions. Just imagine what's around the corner with questions 4 through 10. This is going to be awesome.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. We'll come back with Bart Scott and more questions from Willie next.
Okay.
Wow. We're not going to really be angry this hour with the music for you just made the list.
Some pump-up music for your Fridays. We've only just begun. The NFL season is underway. We have our Titans questions for the season that will go a long way in determining the success of the squad. Gentlemen, we have work to do. It is 11:47. We've got, you just made the list at 12.
And we've only just begun.
All
right, so did you take your shirt off? Because
no.
Now it's a blank screen. So
I tried to fix it and that didn't work.
But I will leave that to your imagination.
Okay.
But I'm just going to say no. All right, question four. Bud Dupree, we talked about him all summer. 10 or more sacks, yes or no, for the season? Chase, why don't you lead this one off?
Well, I know what Darren's going to say, and I agree with him. Like, you pay him that kind of money, you bring him in, the answer has to be yes.
This is why I'm asking the questions. These are the questions that we've been debating all summer, and we finally start to get to see it.
I'm going to say yes. I think he starts slow, but as the knee gets stronger and he gets more acclimated, that he'll get stronger, and therefore he'll hit it. So I'm going to say yes.
All right, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he goes under 10.
I'm going to say no as well.
You're going to go no, okay. No.
Really?
Yeah. I do believe the answer should be yes, but I'm just not quite sure I believe that the answer is going to be yes.
Interesting.
It's a concern of mine.
When you pay him, the answer should be yes. And he was the big ticket item in free agency. The answer should be yes, but I don't think the answer is going
to
be yes.
The overpay to get the guy you need sometimes can be a tough thing on that player. So Darren and I agree on that. All right, let's move on. Let's take to the next step. The Titans, as we know, the number 19, that's how many sacks they had as a team. And they actually had a bunch in the last game to get to 19. So here's the question. Titans, 40 plus sacks this year as a team. Extra game, so that's not a huge reach, but it still would be doubling what they had last year. 40 sacks as
a
team.
No. That's a no. That's
You're
a
saying
no,
no.
Yeah, that's an absolute no.
Okay, so Darren doesn't even need to think about
that.
You
can top shelf that.
Okay, he had a lot of thinking about Sam Ficken's fate, but he had no problem just going no on that.
They had 15 going into the final game of last year.
Yeah, I'll mark that down as
hell no.
That's a no.
So you're saying that it's just
40,
no way.
No,
doubling the sack total is just not in the cards.
No.
Okay, I will say yes. I think they are going to, as a team, collectively have a better pass rush. It just won't all be Bud Dupree.
Danny, you got bullied into that courtroom. Come on, you don't believe that. You're just doing that because I laughed and said no.
You and I both said no for Bud Dupree. 10 or more sacks.
Yeah, so
I just think collectively it's going to be better.
Less sacks, not more.
I'm going to I'm going to say yes. I'm a believer that it's going to be improved and they will double their sack total.
Okay?
Because I think not only will Dupree have a, play a factor in that, but I think Landry's going to be better. You're going to, get some. Hopefully they can go back to what Dean Pease used to do, blitzing the corners. I mean, that was something Logan Ryan was so good at.
Okay. So Chase is with me that collectively it's going to be better. It just may not all be Dupree, but Chase is still thinking Dupree will get the double digits. All right. Here's one that, again, will have you guys snickering. I'm going to give you three players. You tell me, and this one might be a little subjective how we try to track this because there's no way to quantify this exactly. Who will have the biggest impact on the team this year? Caleb Farley, Dylan Radins, Darrington Evans.
Oh.
You're going to take one horse, you're going to buy stock in that horse, and we might all go bust.
Can I use some of that free money I got from you saying 370? Because I don't want to use my own money to bet on that one.
Okay.
Because I don't trust that. I'm going to go. By default, I'm going to go Caleb Farley.
You're going Farley.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a tough
think.
One.
Caleb Farley, question mark?
I mean, that feels like the safest answer.
I don't know if anything feels safe.
Well, of the three, it feels like the safest
answer. You see
answer.
Why I'm asking. Like, this is by the end of the year, like, I thought of different ways to word this, so I just try to keep it simple. But if by December – they get two of these three guys cooking.
How are we
going to
determine what the right answer
well,
is?
Well, there's no. This one is going to be tough. I mean, we're just going to have to try to revisit it and
it's,
see.
It's subjective,
yeah.
Right?
This is the only one I have that's worded this way, but I just thought it was interesting because we always talk about draft picks and developing, and you got to get contributions out of guys like this eventually.
I'm going to say Caleb Farley too.
Farley
I want to be different, but I can't. I just Radin's is on the team.
I'd love to say Evans, but
yeah,
I mean,
but
how do you,
he's on IR.
How do you possibly?
But
say
he's
him?
Starting behind the eight ball to start with. So
again,
my thought is this: remember Nate Davis? If we'd asked this question about Nate Davis before the season a couple years ago, we just said, "Nate Davis is he even going to be on the team?" And by the second half of the year, he was the entrenched starter and did really well. I'm not sure I'm like I
yeah,
like. Nate Davis could not have had lower stock, correct? I mean, he and Radin's, like, Nate Davis didn't even play. At least Radin's went out there and got some reps, even though he didn't look great. So can they get him up to speed by the end of the year?
Was banged up, so he didn't have a choice, really. They had to play him.
But Nate Davis was really good by the end of that first year. Came out of nowhere. So I am going to take the...
You're gonna take the what?
I was about to put my name down for Radin's, and I was like, really?
I'm gonna
Are
take
really
the.
Gonna do this? I do want to be different. All right, I got to be different. I'll take a flyer on Radin's. I'll take a shot that he will go in the Nate Davis route.
You're gonna need a shot
need
with that
help.
Bet.
I'm gonna need some help on that one. Okay, I too with you guys. I'm a little skeptical that Evans gets it together here. All right, next quickly. Who will be the most productive receiver on the team, not named Julio Jones, A.J. Brown? So this would include tight ends. Any other guy you want to throw out there?
This includes tight ends.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, that changes the question.
Yes, it does. So we're going to go with receptions
It'd
as
be
our
more
marker.
Fun if he just made it just the wide receivers. Because that it is literally a dartboard with all the receivers. Let's leave tight ends out.
Really? You're that sure?
Yeah.
Oh, well, look at the rest.
Well, because I think my answer would be Firkser.
I mean, honestly, I think I would just say Firkser.
Yeah.
But let's leave the tight ends out because I do think the rest
Josh
is,
Reynolds had 52 catches last year.
Yeah. Do you believe Josh Reynolds is going to have 52 this year?
Okay, but name me another receiver on the roster that's come anywhere close to 52. That's why
have
I
you
think
seen
Firkser.
Josh Reynolds catch a ball yet?
Of course not.
I don't think it's clear cut as Josh Reynolds at all.
Well, the guys that were catching all the passes in the preseason, you don't think they're going to get a lot of targets. That's why I think Firkser in this mix was worthy.
If you want to keep it in there, that's fine. I'll go Firkser. I trust him more than anybody else.
Well, if you're handicapping this, Firkser and Reynolds would be pretty far ahead of everybody else, don't you think?
Okay, then
yeah,
that's
no
why
doubt.
I'm going to go Firkser.
Like, who else would be a candidate?
I mean, Akine? I don't know, Johnson? Rogers?
But Johnson's on IR, so there's three
okay.
games off the
right.
off the books right there.
Yeah.
Batson? I don't know.
Batson's going to catch 50 passes?
No.
Anything close to that?
Is the
what did he catch last year, 11?
Is the next guy up going to catch 50? Honestly, let's answer that. Is the next guy after those two going to catch 50?
That's it. Now that's a good way to put it.
The answer is no.
Okay.
I don't
so
think
who's
so.
The next? Who's the next guy? Somebody's going to get those matchups. So you say
if you're going to keep Firkser in there,
I think Firkser. Okay. So you're taking Firkser.
Yeah.
Okay. Chase, you got Firk?
I'm going to go Reynolds.
You're going
Reynolds? I'll be different. I'll go Reynolds. Firk did have 39 catches last year, just for comparison.
I will go Reynolds.
And I will just on record tell you that any of these choices, none of them are catching 50.
That's it. Okay. I'm going to make that note, Darren.
Make the note.
Under 50. I mean, there's only a certain amount of plays you have. Okay. Here's another big one. Average third down efficiency in the NFL last year was 42% for defenses. 42%. Of course, the Titans, as we know, they allowed almost 52%. Record low. I mean, it was just brutal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here is the question. Will the Titans D be better than average or worse than average this year on third down efficiency for the defense? Not for the offense, the defense.
So last year, 52% failure rate?
Yeah, and the average 42%. Was 42%. So we're going to say, will they be above or below 42% this year, the league average?
Or right at it.
Or so it's got to be 42 or less? Is that what you're saying? It's got to be 42%
Are they going to be on the – when you put the average and you list the 32 teams, will they be above that line or below that line?
Yeah.
Boy.
Like, we know it fluctuates a lot year to year. This is the key question. This was what killed them.
I will go – I'll go below. I'll give it a shot.
You're going to go –
I'll give it a whirl.
I'm going to do
He's going to give it a whirl. Below better than average. Darren says better than average.
They've heard it the entire offseason, so I know it's going to be a heavy, heavy emphasis. So they've heard it enough.
And you
they're
know
sick
what?
Of it.
I think I don't know if I've just convinced myself of this, because obviously I don't really have much evidence other than Rashawn Evans yesterday in his interview. But I think Jim Schwartz is going to make a big difference on things.
Okay.
Just being here. So I'll say
yeah. Better than average.
Okay.
Okay, I will do the same. We're going to all be sink or swim together on this.
How many more do we have?
We have one.
Okay, let's fire away and
very simple. Ryan Tannehill, 28.5 touchdown passes for the season. Over or under?
What was it last year? Is that the number? Is that why you're saying that?
Nope, that's again a Chase McCabe checked prop in Vegas. Last year he had 33. And this year there are 17 games. But the over-under, this again
over.
Goes to the perception of Tannehill.
Yeah, over.
Darren says over. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, last year was a career year in that category. Highest he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I will say over.
I will also say over. Okay, that's it. Now, finally, you got to give me the record for the Titans. What is your record for the season? I'm going to say 11-6.
Well, poo. That's what I was going to say.
We'll say it.
11-6.
You could go 11-5-1.
No. No ties. I don't ever root for ties. You know that.
No, I don't either. 12-5.
12-5. Gentlemen, thank you for playing. We will come back to these Titans questions later in the season. We'll have a little checkup maybe on a quarterly basis just to see how everybody's doing.
Come back and tell us what has made you mad. Maybe it was that last segment. Who knows? But you've probably been holding something in all week. Tell us who or what you want to put on the list to start the third hour. That's next.